لبيك لا شريك لك الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير يا ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتح آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته my dear Quran buddies how is everyone Alhamdulillah, I pray that each and every one of you is on the highest levels and statuses of Iman and Taqwa under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings and rahmah. Ameen Thumma Ameen. On behalf of Nurul Quran International Institute and the entire team of Journey Through Quran, I welcome you all in this live session of Juz 17th in Journey Through Quran. We are continuing our descent journey now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this journey of ours a blessed one and a continuous effort to learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam and establish an unbreakable connection with our Lord even after Ramadan. Ameen summa ameen. Subhanallah, we completed Juz 16th. Bismillah. We continued with Surah Al-Kahf in the Juz. And what was the theme of the Juz? Seek ilm, alhamdulillah, seek knowledge. And we explored the other two trials mentioned in the surah. And do you remember which ones? There were four of them, two we did in Juz 15th and two were left. Yes, trial of knowledge and trial of power. These two were left. And so from it we learned that there is hikmah behind everything. We have to be good, we have to be a good student in order to be a good teacher, right? We should not be proud of whatever we are given. There will be always someone better than us. Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam both were given a different kind of knowledge. And it didn't make either one's knowledge less beneficial or less important. And we have to exercise patience in our quest of learning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam, inshallah wa ta'ala. Yes, power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the hikmah behind every trial. We also learned that ilm is a combination of what? Tarbiyah, other manners. It's a combination of both. So while learning knowledge, we have to exercise these traits, these qualities, in order to get the maximum benefit out of it. Gee, alhamdulillah, good manners. In order to attain them, we have to totally direct our focus towards learning. And subhanallah, that's what we do. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. You all are very good students and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you immensely with this knowledge and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you steadfast on this journey. Then we learned how power can be a trial for us and how we have to associate each and every blessing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. The way Khidr alayhi salam used his power to spread Islam, how he used resources given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit humanity and associated all to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and didn't take any credit for it. But that's a lesson for us too. If we are given any skill, first we have to use to serve humanity. Then second, we will credit everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we will not take any credit of it because it's not our ability to develop that. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah and blessing that he has given us that particular skill. Then we can show arrogance on any of the blessing, can show off. As it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing and we are not extra special to get that. So we have to be thankful slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always. Inshallah wa ta'ala ameen. we learned that if deeds are not done right according to Quran and Sunnah, Haza Rahmatu Rabbi. Exactly. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. If the deeds are done right according to Quran and Sunnah, if they are not, then they'll be trashed. If they are, then yes, Alhamdulillah, they will be rewarded, inshallah, and accepted. So we have to keep a check and balance on our deeds, so we are not caught off guard by surprise. And we will not be able to afford that surprise at the Day of Judgment. We have to make decisions consciously now. So we have to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us towards the right path. Whatever knowledge we are learning, may it is the authentic one. Not the wherever he said, she said, you know, that kind of knowledge with references. And we have to search for that. It is our right to know and to search from where we are getting the knowledge, the person who is giving, what kind of knowledge that person is giving. So it is so very important for us to know that. Then subhanAllah, we started Surah Al-Maryam. SubhanAllah, another honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to a woman. A surah was revealed on her name. First Surah An-Nisa for women, and now Surah Maryam. With her amazing character, subhanAllah. A pious lady who submitted herself with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and which way she was tested, Allahu Akbar. A most precious commodity of a woman with her honor. With it, we understood that everything happens for a reason. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Hakim, and He knows, He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the hikmah behind every trial, right? And if we accept that given trial with the contentment of our heart and submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will come, inshallah wa ta'ala. So we learned that we have to establish a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with conviction. We should have that ultimate trust that there's a hikmah behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's trial. And inshallah wa ta'ala, where everything comes in our way with patience and with salah. We seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from salah, and we'll exercise patience meanwhile, inshallah wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, in every juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Ibrahim alayhi salam's name to honor him for his unconditional submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will and commandment, right? And how he passed with flying colors in every single test he was given. Then we learned that in order to add weight to our deeds, make them worthwhile, what is required? Ikhlas, sincerity. Sincerity is the key ingredient. Otherwise, they will be weightless. Again, the same thing comes, a surprise which we will not be able to afford at that hour. So, during your learning quest, during our learning quest, we learn the things required to make our deeds worthwhile. So, make a note of that, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will keep on exercising monitoring. And we will, inshallah wa ta'ala, try to adopt every single action, every single sunnah in our deeds, inshallah wa ta'ala, so they are weighed properly at the Day of Judgment, inshallah. Surah Taha. Surah Taha, another beautiful surah we started. We were told that the commandments, warnings in Quran given by our Lord are not there to distress us, to make us nervous. In fact, it is a rahmah and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are told up front. Right? We need to develop taqwa to make implementing Quran easy for ourselves, inshallah wa ta'ala. So if we develop the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it will not be difficult at all for us to implement those commandments in our lives, inshallah. Then we learned what salah makes us. It makes us to establish a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since in Salah, we talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a conversation going on there. And unless and until we do that conversation properly, how you can make a connection with someone when you do not have a proper conversation going on? So we have to establish Salah so we can establish a connection with our Lord. So very important, because it is the Salah is the worship which we exercise at least 5 times a day, right? And it is, you know, like so important. And the first question at the Day of Judgment we will be asked is of Salah. So learning to pray Salah properly, the Sunnah way, and establishing it in our lives is the important thing, inshallah wa ta'ala. If one thing goes right, inshallah wa ta'ala, our iman is that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, the next things will be, inshallah wa ta'ala, easy for us too. But everything takes hard time, work, hard work, right? So we have to work hard. This dunya is hard work. This is good. This life has given to us to work hard. And then inshallah wa ta'ala, the reward at the Day of Judgment will be just relax, chill, do nothing. So inshallah wa ta'ala, we will work hard now. Just like people work all their lives. And then when the retirement age comes, whatever they have saving and the pension, they just relax with that. So inshallah wa ta'ala, keeping that in mind, we will work hard now so we can relax at the Day of Judgment. Then Musa alayhi salam story, we learn how Musa alayhi salam and his mother both were tested at the same time in their own capacity, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala held their hearts to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. Then we learned beautiful and effective dawah techniques and qualities of a da'i. Beauty of true iman is a person only fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when haq enters the heart, then nothing scares a person of iman but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fear, as it will make him confident and will bring the person out of darkness to a bright illuminated space, inshallah wa ta'ala. We have to prepare our hearts for Yawmul Hasra. We need to be a visionary in this dunya with our connection with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of it, because if and when we will forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He subhanahu wa ta'ala will make life harder for us. So remember, shaitan only disobeyed once. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us his slave of 24/7. May we are honored among those who constantly remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen, summa ameen. So in continuation to this remembrance and for our learning quest, let's join Sister Faiza for just 17th in Atlanta, Georgia, in Journey Through Quran, biznillah, and learn our action points, inshallah wa ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan kathira wa ahsan jada. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Let's begin our journey today with a beautiful day, beautiful time. And you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the time that will be asked, because the today's ayah, the first juz ayah, is about that we're accountable for everything, right? So inshallah, let's begin our journey with a grateful heart. The heart that is filled with gratitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it possible for us, you and I, to sit and learn the book of Allah. Now, why do I have to repeat this every day? You know why? Because as humans, we, by nature, sometimes becomes ungrateful. This is why we need to remind ourselves every day, many times a day. Do you know why there are 5 salahs in day? Because during 5 times, from one salah time to another salah time, people tend to forget the life, the purpose of life. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the beauty of 5 salahs. So if you're too busy in something, come back to salah and remember the purpose. Then you can get busy in this dunya again, then come back to salah and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a daily reminder technique that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in our lives that we have to remember. Then there's a weekly technique of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Jummah. The importance of Jummah is because weekly reminder is also needed. Then there's a monthly reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in place, and that is the months, lunar calendar. every month has special things about it, like month of Ramadan, like we are in right now today. It reminds us to remember Allah and to remember the purpose of life. The bottom line is, a human being is a forgetful being. They need reminder all the time. This is why the Quran, the name, one of the name of the Quran is Az-Zikra, meaning a remembrance. This is why you cannot say that I have learned the Quran once and I am done with it. And I have read the Quran that once and I am done with it. Unfortunately, in Muslim cultures, when the kid is about the age of 4 or 5, parents really celebrate a big huge celebration, and it is called that they're going to celebrate and start learning the Quran. Alhamdulillah, great. But when the child goes through once a Quran, when they recite Surah An-Nas, you know what they do? They celebrate that now my child knows the whole Quran, and they close the book. And after that, that Quran is never open until if it's a necessary thing, such as somebody died in a family and stuff like that. Islam tells us to remember this Quran every single moment of your life. You know what? Inshallah, if you're planning to take the journey of Quran in detail, you will learn these small little sentences in Quran that we can bring in daily life conversation. Until this Quran becomes in our daily life conversation, we will not be able to benefit from it. So the idea here is that remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today we will learn the theme that will help us do that. But before we get into that, let's go and listen to the recitation of first few ayahs of just 17, and we'll begin from there, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون ما يأتيهم من ذكر من ربهم محدث إلا استمعوه وهم يلعبون لاهية قلوبهم وأسروا النجوى الذين ظلموا هل هذا إلا بشر مثلكم أفتأتون السحر وأنتم تبصرون قال ربي يعلم القول في السماء والأرض وهو السميع العليم بل قالوا أضغاث أحلام بل افتراه بل هو شاعر فليأتنا بآية كما أرسل الأولون ما آمنت قبلهم من قرية أهلكناها أفهم يؤمنون
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعده فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله Today we're going to start Juz 17. Juz 17 starts with a special bulletin news. But before we get into that, what is that bulletin? Let's understand what is the theme for today's Juz. Today's Juz theme is seek sound judgment. In other words, you can say seek some righteousness, the righteous right way, rightful way of guidance. And what is that? That is called rushd. In today's ayah, one of the ayah of Surah Anbiya will be about this. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ And we have certainly given Ibrahim alayhi salam his sound judgment. Ibrahim alayhi salam was able to recognize the truth in darkness. Remember, he was the only Muslim and there was nobody Muslim around him, not even his own family. And he was living in surrounded by disbelievers. And yet he was able to find the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know why? Because he was blessed with rushd. Do you see the importance of rushd? Rushd is something that when you get to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants and what is the insight of the true things. Rushd also means that decision-making power, the right way possible. And if you notice here, rushd is basically something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you an eye if we ask for it. It is a treasure, one of the treasure that will help you understand the knowledge the right way possible. Because sometimes knowledge itself, when there is no rushd, when there is no hikmah, it becomes fitna. What I mean is that having too much knowledge and not using it right way, that knowledge becomes burdensome. And that will hurt us without any doubt. And we will learn in Quran that ayah also, that the knowledge which doesn't have a hikmah and it is not applicable to a person, it becomes burden. And that burden will weigh us down on a day of judgment. This is why such a beautiful dua we're going to learn today. And if you go to the next slide, you will see the dua of seeking rightful guidance. And that is the dua of rushd. What is the dua? This is intermediate. We learn that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught this dua to us. And that is Allahumma alhimni rushdi. See the word rushd? We're asking rushd from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one single translation that we can translate this word. This is how comprehensive Arabic language is. I sometimes used to wonder why Quran is revealed in Arabic. Now that you will learn Quran more and more, word by word, meaning by meaning, you will understand that each and every word is so extensive. There is no translation. For example, the word fitna, it's one word. There is no translation for it. For example, the word haya, it's one word, but there is no translation for it. For example, the word taqwa, it's one word, but there's no one specific translation for it. And there are so many examples like that. For example, hikmah also. Hikmah has so many meanings to it. So this is why we need to remember that the dua is in Arabic, so it gives the true purpose and leads the meaning of the dua. So let's say it together, inshallah, repeat after me. Allahumma alhimni rushdi wa a'idhni min sharri nafsi. What are you asking in this dua? Oh Allah, inspire me to be rightly guided. Do we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire us to be rightly guided? And protect me from the evil of myself. Because once you are rightly guided, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from your own nafs. From enticement that you get from your own nafs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are asking Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save me from that. You know why? Because in our daily life, if a person is granted this rushd, he will be able to see things from a perspective of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Ibrahim alayhi salam, being a young boy, he was able to see right through the problem that the society was facing. Today, if we can instill this rushd in ourselves, we will see the right through the problem that we're facing, and we will see the end goal, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the situation the way you are in. This is why this dua is extremely important. Let's understand a little bit this dua a little bit deeply. Allahumma, the first word is alhimni, right? Alhimni comes from ilham. Ilham means inspiration, instincts, enlightenment. What does that mean? You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, this dua could have been worded this way, Allahumma atini rushdi, right? Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us rushd. But no, giving us rushd may stay outside of your body. But when it is ilham, it is actually goes inside. It inspires you to do the right thing, the right way, the right time, the possible way. And this is why this word is so beautiful, alhimni. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inspire me. We learned this word in a story of the Nahal, the bee, that she was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do certain things in a certain way, in a certain manner. So when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inspire me, that means you're saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you basically put it in my heart and I don't even know it. Sometimes when we don't have rushd, we don't see the deep and the deeper picture of any given situation. So when a people are granted this rushd, they can see things that nobody else can see. And when people are worried in certain situations like we're in, the person who has rushd, he smiles. He sees beyond what other people are worried about. So this is an important and very beautiful dua that we can all ask. And the word rushd comes from rushada, that means to have steadfastness and upon the path of truth while having strong resolve, meaning rushd is used in matters related to this life and hereafter, meaning when you ask for rushd, you will be able to deal with your daily life matters and you will be able to make decisions which are helpful and which will be handy in your planning for the future, that is the hereafter. So you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to instill his soul with guidance, meaning the person who's asking this dua. You know what it does? It leads to obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How amazing. You won't even know it and you will get on a right path and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you. And we learned that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once addressed in the sermon, he said, whoever obeys Allah and his messenger is rightly guided. So this is how the rush can come and this is what we're trying to do in here. Imam Ash-Shawqi rahimahullah alayhi said that this hadith, it is example of prophetic concise speech because seeking to be inspired by rushd is means of safeguarding oneself from misguidance. Seeking refuge from the evil of oneself is a safeguard from a major sins, majority of the sins, right? So this is important that we ask this dua. Then Sheikh Muhammad bin Saleh Al-Uthman rahimahullah alayhi said, if one were to be bestowed with right guidance, then he is successful and prosperous. Question, do we want to be successful and prosperous? Then we should ask this dua and include this dua in every salah so you don't forget, inshallah. And this is the goal of the believers of whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in this word, that when a person gets rushd, he is basically like this. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِسْيَانِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. But Allah has endeared to you the faith and has made it pleasing in your heart. What it means is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the iman pleasing to the heart and has made hateful to you disbelief, meaning when a person has rushd, he does not like disbelief and he does not find himself attracted to the disbelief, defiance and disobedience. Those are the rightly guided. When an iman enters in the heart in such a way that you automatically stay away from something wrong and you automatically incline towards something good, this is what rushd gives you and I. So inshallah, let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for you and I to seek rushd, inshallah. Next slide, if you go, then the dua for rushd is, we have already done the dua of the rushd. Now, the next slide, we see connection between Juz 16 and Juz 17 themes. What is the connection between Juz 16 and Juz 17 theme? If you remember, the Juz 16 theme was seeking ilm, right? Seeking knowledge. Now, ilm becomes beneficial if you only know how to use ilm, and rushd is basically the thing that you need that equips you with the insight of how to use our knowledge. How beautiful. Meaning, knowledge and rushd goes hands in hands. Without each other, you're not going to be complete. So in order to make yourself complete and give yourself a complete picture of Islam and the life that you're about to live, inshallah, you need ilm. And on top of that, you need rushd to use the ilm in a proper manner. And what is rushd? Rushd is right guidance and a sound judgment. So inshallah, with that mindset, we're going to move on to, into today's juz. And if you go to the next slide, you will see the juz is called Al-Anbiya and the Surah Al-Anbiya. It begins with Surah Al-Anbiya. And Surah Al-Anbiya is like a basically beautiful bouquet where we learn about the Anbiya, the prophets, and their du'as. It will be very exciting for you to, inshallah, to learn all those du'as that prophets made. And you know what? How come prophets' du'as are so beautiful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them a permanent place in Quran? Do you know why? Because prophets were giving this quality of rushd, and they made the du'a so concise and precise, and yet they said it all and with conviction. This is why their du'as are preserved in this Quran. So inshallah, when you and I will make du'as, from now on, we will try to make it in the light of rushd and in the light of the du'as of prophets. Then we learn, inshallah, that how Allah selects you, what are the criteria that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects people for His work. And then we will learn Surah Al-Hajj, and this will talk about Hajj and what is the beauty of the Hajj. And sincerity, how important it is. And also we will learn there are some people who like to stay in outer circle of the Islam. They don't like to come all the way in, and whether it is important or to do that or not. And then we will learn the importance of sujood. Basically, sujood is a blessing, that there is nothing like that. And khashiyah of Allah, what is khashiyah? Khashiyah is basically a love of Allah and the fear of Allah together. In other words, you can say the fearing of Allah because of love of Allah, that is khashiyah. And when khashiyah comes in the heart, the life becomes so much fun. And then Allah helps those who help Allah's deen. There will be an ayah, we'll talk about it there. And then make deen a priority, or else you will be run by somebody else, and that is called shaitan. And Muslims are chosen nation, and we will learn about these characteristics called mukhbit. And being a mukhbit is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let's go to today's ayahs, ayah number 1 to 10. The topic for this paragraph is listen with intention to obey. You know why? Because unless we have the intention to really get something out of it, listening is, yeah, I know the information. Because the first ayah of this juz is something that we really, truly need to understand what it is. The wording of this ayah, if the people who heard this ayah in Arabic the first time, the Sahaba, it was really heart-touching. You know why? Because they got it. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to say in this ayah. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for you and I to really truly understand each and every message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to give us in this juz. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Iqtaraba lin-nasi hisabuhum wa hum fi ghaflatin mu'ridun. The time of their account has approached for the people while they are in heedlessness, turning away. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this ayah? Iqtaraba linnas, the time of their account. Hisab, our hisab, my hisab, and your hisab. Your accountability is near. It is already approached for the people. And you know what? People are too busy. People are not realizing that their time of their accountability is so close. It is right there. It is a, think of this, iqtaraba linnas. This is like basically a news that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you and I. What it means is that, you know, when on TV screen, when you hear something, a news bulletin going on, or maybe a special breaking news, or maybe something that is pop up in your system and that says Amber Alert or something like that. This is what this ayah is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, oh people, do you know that your hisab is very near? Do you know that you're about to be gone from this world, this life of this world, maybe 10, 20, 30, 60 years, whatever it is very short. And the day of judgment is so close. And we have so many ahadith in which we learn how close this day of judgment is. And you know, if you think about it, from the time Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and until now, it has been already 1400 plus years have gone. And this is almost the time that is near. And we already see all the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us through Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are dear. But you know what? Even people say, you know what? The major signs are not there. So we have time. Well, guess what? The minute you and I die, for us, the Qiyamah begins right then and there. How do we know that we are going to die when? We don't know. So we need to really do something that we can really connect ourselves to the chain of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that is the heritage of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that is this Quran and Sunnah. You know, Imam Muslim, do you know Imam Muslim, the four Aimai Karam? That Imam Muslim was a student of Imam Bukhari, right? And Imam Bukhari was a student of Ahmad bin Hanbal. And Ahmad bin Hanbal was a student of Imam Shafi. And Imam Shafi was a student of Imam Malik. And Imam Malik was a student of Imam Nafi. And Nafi was a student of Al-Arij. And Al-Arij was a student of Abu Huraira. And who was Abu Huraira? He was a companion of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What we learn here is that we need to have, let's make dua to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, keep us in this loop of chain of information, because we don't know when we're going to disappear from this world. And it will be so sudden. And we learn from a hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whatever you are doing, the meaning of the hadith is, if you're planting a seed, and even then, if you see the qiyamah is there, keep on planting. You know why? Because we don't know what's going to happen next. In Bukhari 5301, we learn that Sahal bin Sa'ad said, which was a companion of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam holding out his middle and index fingers together and said, my advent and the hour are like this or like these, meaning he put the both fingers together, meaning if you put your fingers together right now, what do you see? They're close to each other, meaning people are in this ghafla, in heedlessness, that qiyamah is so far away. Let's live the life today of our choice and don't worry about it. Even though, you know what, this is a hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And what else we learn here? According to Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when you make the sale, meaning Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that people will be doing this, when you will make the sale and that you will catch the tails of the cow, that you will be satisfied with agriculture. What this means is that you will be busy earning this dunya. This is when the qiyamah will come. And number two, and that you will abandon the jihad. Allah will bring down on you a humiliation which He will not withdraw until you return to your religion. People will be indulged in this dunya, just making this dunya, and they will not be and they will not be worrying about the qiyamah, because the qiyamah will be something that they will forget about it. And the second thing they will be doing, the people at the time when the qiyamah will be near, they will abandon jihad, meaning they will not struggle in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will be happy living the life they are. Let's make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly make us understand how serious it is to see that the qiyamah is very near, inshallah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah, no mention that is revelation comes to them anew from their Lord, except that they listen to because they are in extreme heedlessness with their hearts distracted. It's so scary. What does that mean? Meaning the hearts will not be in Allah, in Quran, in Sunnah, and they will not be happy with that. They will be distracted with the worldly things. And you know what, today, even when people are doing something good, like for example, you know, when they're praying, the minute they say Salaam Alaikum wa Rahmatullah, they pick up their phone as if they're missing that thing. They have this thing in their hand, like for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gonna give them a message of something, your salat you just prayed is accepted. They even forget to do dhikr after salah because they have to check these messages. Those red little circles that come up, you now you have four new messages, and they start reading those messages. Why? Because people are distracted in this dunya. Their hearts are longing for this dunya. And this is also a sign that people will forget about akhirah. And those who do wrong conceal their private conversation, saying, is this prophet except a human being like you? So would you approach magic while you are aware? He, the Prophet ﷺ said, My Lord, know whatever is said through the heavens and the earth, and He is the hearing and the knowing. Meaning, Allah SWT knows what people are thinking and what is their priority. The lesson we can learn from this is, what is priority for you and I? Is it to please myself and do the things of this dunya only, or I can take some time out to do the thing for the akhirah? Then, but they say the revelation is but a mixture of false dreams. Look, they are even denying the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And rather, He has invented it. Rather, He is a poet. So, so let Him bring us a sign, just as the previous messengers were sent with miracles. Not a single city which we destroyed believed before them. So will they believe? And we sent not before you, O Prophet, except men to whom we revealed the message. So ask the people of the message, that is former scriptures, if you do not know. Meaning, prophets always came in the form of human, and people have this tendency to deny them and not realizing the importance of the Day of Judgment. And we did not make them, that is the prophets, forms not eating food, nor were they immortal. Meaning, prophets were human beings and they were still able to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we fulfilled for them the promise and we saved them and whom we willed and destroyed the transgressors. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved those who are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that, all the believers who are trying very hard to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves them too. We have certainly sent down to you a book that is the Quran, in which it is your mention. Highlight this ayah, ayah number 10. Because this Quran talks about fihi zikrukum. What does that mean? Who is this kum? Fihi zikrukum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this Quran is a mention of you. You know, every book has a title for it and there is a purpose for it, right? Like, for example, science books talk about science, right? Math books talk about maths. This is the main subject of that book. If someone asks you, what is the main topic of Quran, subject line, and what this book is for? So you can say, this is about you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fihi zikrukum, it is a mention for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't write this book down just to be sitting on a shelf. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it mentions you. Imagine if somebody writes a letter to you and it is about you and it is your biography, it is your lifestyle and they're telling you what to do and what not to do and people don't open it. How sad this is. And this is what we see the situation today. People don't think that this book is for them. They think it's for somebody else. Even if they do open it, even if they do try to learn the book, they take all these lessons to party. Oh, Allah SWT is talking about those who do gossip. Not me. Allah SWT is talking about those who don't do sujood. I do. Allah SWT talks about those people who do not spend. I already spend. People don't take this book in first-hand conversation, first-person conversation. You know, there's a three-way of speech, right? You talk first-hand and you talk second-person and there's a third party you talk about. This Quran talks about first-person. So this is why every ayah, every message, every lesson, it is for you and I. Unless we take every message upon ourselves, this book will not benefit us. This book will be just the information that we see and learn and move on. So inshallah, let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly make us understand this book. So what did we learn from this paragraph? We learned that Quran mentions us, and that is fihi zikrukum, that means this book is for me. And the topic of the Quran is basically human. The news is announced already. Let's make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make it possible for us to really take this news seriously and listen to Quran and what Quran is saying. Live the life by it. Prophets live daily life. Yes, serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People make excuses. I have so many things to do. How can I live by the Quran? Prophets did. Sahaba did. Tabi'in did. Taba tabi'in did. How can we say that we cannot live by the Quran? And heedlessness keeps us busy in dunya. This is why people are not able to come to Quran. Instead of finishing Quran, you know what you and I should be doing? Absorb this Quran. The purpose is not to complete. Purpose is to absorb whatever we can with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we need to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible everything. And the action is the key, not the information, right? And make all decisions based on what you want in hereafter. In other words, first set a goal for yourself and then make decisions of daily life. Let's go to the next paragraph in ayah number 11 to 29. Don't run away, because there is no place on earth that where you can run away. Might as well submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 11. وَكَمْ قَسَمْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ كَانَتْ ظَالِمَةً وَأَنْشَأْنَا بَعْدَهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ. And how many a city which was unjust have we shattered and produced after it another people? Were they able to run away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. They were destroyed. So what can we do? We should come back. And when its inhabitants perceived our punishment at once, they fled from it. Some angels said, that do not flee, but return to where you were given luxury and to your homes. Perhaps you will be questioned. They said, oh, woe to us. Indeed, we were wrongdoers. And the declaration of their theirs did not cease until we made them as a harvest mowed down, extinguished. Try to imagine when there is a crop ready to cut and the farmer is very excited to see, and right then at that moment some kind of a flood or storm comes and it destroys all the crop. This is the situation. And we did not create the heavens and earth, and that is between them in play. People say, you know, this world is just fun, entertainment, enjoyment. And, you know, in some religion, they say their God was sitting and one day he was getting bored and he said, you know what, let me just create this dunya. And this dunya he created as a toy. Is that true? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was getting bored, na'uzubillah, and he needed some activity to do. This is why he created this dunya. Na'uzubillah, how can people say that? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, this dunya is not created for just fun and play. It is not a fun flex. It is not something entertainment that you just go and entertain yourself, come back tired and go to sleep and go to work next day. And this is the general perception people have about this life. And had we intended to take a diversion, we could have taken it from what is with us if indeed we were to do so. Rather, we dash the truth upon falsehood and it destroys it, and thereupon it departs, and for you is destruction from that which you describe. To him belongs whoever is in the heavens and the earth and those near him. That is, the angels are not prevented by arrogance from his worship, nor do they tire. What do we learn in this ayah number 19? That it is the arrogance of the humans that keeps them away, because angels do not have this arrogance. That's why they're easily able to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tirelessly, 24/7. Whatever job they're assigned, they do it relentlessly, not thinking too much, not answering too much, not questioning too much, not finding the logic too much. You know why? Because they have this attitude of submission. They have submitted themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know who can submit themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The one who does not have any arrogance. Let's make dua. Wallah, make us our hearts clean, free of any type of arrogance in us. So we're easily submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They exalt him night and day and do not slacken. Yusabbihuna layla wa nahar. Question, can we make the azkar morning and evening? Can we have this conscious mindset? Can we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about this goal setting in our life? Or have they, that is men, taken for themselves gods from the earth who resurrect the dead? Had there been within them, that is the heavens and earth, gods besides Allah, they both would have been ruined. So exalted is Allah, Lord of the throne, above what they describe. What are you learning in this ayahs? You're learning basically that shirk is not allowed. Associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala It is a major, major sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so many ayahs in this Quran, and that talks about shirk. May Allah save us from all kinds of shirk. He is not questions about them, a question about what he does, but they will be questioned. Or have they taken gods besides him? Say, O Prophet, produce your proof, that is Quran, is the message for those with him, with me, and the message of those before me, but most of them do not know the truth, so they are turning away. What do we learn here? Wal aksarahum. Majority do not know the truth. So what we learn from this ayah? Majority is not the authority. If people are doing all kinds of the things, that doesn't mean that it is justifiable. Too many wrongs doesn't make it right. But today we have this perception, too many wrongs actually does make it right. People say it is a norm of the society to do these things. And when things become norm, then people don't mind. And they become heedless and they don't care that the judgment day is near. And we send not before you any messenger except we reveal to him that there is no deity except me, so worship me. May Allah make us worship Allah only and with sincerely. And that day, the most merciful has taken the sun, exalted, Subhanahu, say Subhanahu right now, Subhanahu, exalted is he, rather they are but honored servant, they cannot precede him inward, and they act by his command. He knows what is presently before them and what will be after them, and they cannot intercede except on behalf of one whom he approves, and they, from fear of him, are apprehensive. Meaning, they don't get scared of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't know that it is going to come. Basically, if you summarize this ayah, we're learning the heedlessness attitude of people. May Allah really, truly make us understand. And whoever of them should say, indeed, I am a God besides him, that one we would recompense with hell. Thus, do we recompense the wrongdoers? So what's the lesson from this paragraph? Be active, a Muslim. Be a participant in this dunya, in the affair that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to take care of. And those who don't run away in this dunya from sins, they will try to run away in the hereafter from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they will not be able to do that. So make yourself and I run away from the sins of this dunya so we can be saved over there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only Rabb. Oneness of Allah. This paragraph is teaching us oneness of Allah, Tawheed of Allah, Rububiyah of Allah, Uluhiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sustainer and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ilah. Allah is not answerable to anyone, but we are all answerable to him. If you know you work somewhere and you have a job to do, at the end of the day, you have to submit a report. You did this much work. This is why you get paid. This is why we are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because at the end of the job, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us and will show him this is what we did, and this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to pay us in the form of currency that will take us to Jannah. So you know what? Now think of the good things that you do, good deeds, as a currency that you're depositing in the bank of Jannah, bank of Akhirah. Based on that account, how much accumulation it is, we will enter the Jannah or Jahannam. People turn away because of lack of knowledge. If they know, do you think they will turn away? Like for example, you and I are learning this book. Do you think we will turn away? Inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Iznillah, keep us on the right path, unknowingly we will not, unless we are unaware of it. And no place for shirk in our lives. No, where are we? Where are we going? And why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us? And what is the purpose of life? And then self-analysis question. Am I dunya oriented or akhirah oriented? Because this answer will tell us what is my priority in life. In the next paragraph, before I go to the next paragraph, let's learn the gem that we learned from this section. And that is, how do you know if your Lord is pleased with you? You know, people say that, how can I find out if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with me? I do salah, I do zakah, and I do all those basic things. So how do I know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with me or not? You know how? He will keep you busy in His work. Meaning, if you're done with one work, one salah, you'll be worried about next one. If you're done with one fast, you'll be worried about next fast. If you're done with one good deed, you want to do the next one. And the next, and the next, and the next. You know why? Because you want to keep yourself busy. Because this is a sign that shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with you. So if someone finds themselves not too interested in Allah's book, then they should worry about it. They should make dua. You know why? Because this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased. And you know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with you? When there is some kind of a shirk going on in our life. So let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take away all kinds of shirk and make us solely, purely, sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. And then, in the next paragraph from ayah number 30 to 41, we learn that every soul has to taste death. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us over and over that you get too busy in this world and you're going to forget about why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتًا رَتْقًا فَتَفَقْنَاهُمَا. Have those who disbelieve not considered that the heaven and the earth were a joined entity? And then we separated them and made from water every living thing. Then will they not believe? Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying everything is created by water. We human are created by the distinct drop of water. Right? So everything is made of water. Body is made of two parts, right? So the physical body are made of water. This is why it requires the things and water and the food that comes from earth because of this water. And we are busy satisfying that body. Our soul also needs water. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the soul from the heavens. And the water of the wahi, the water of revelation, is the food for the soul. And when we deprive our soul from that food that it's craving for, this is when people go astray. And this is when people become heedless. And we place within the earth firmly set mountains, lest it should shift with them. And we made their in mountains passes as roads, that they might be guided. You know, now today say there are the fault lines on the earth and it shifts the mountains in its from its place. And this is the news that is recent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote this so many years ago. And we made the sky a protected ceiling, but they from its sign are turning away. And it is He who created the night and the day and the sun and the moon, all heavenly bodies in an orbit are swimming. Don't you think that this book is talking about all the signs that science has recently discovered? This orbit, this moving, this axis, this changing, all this is a recent information that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written in this book so many years ago. And we did not grant to any man before your eternity on earth, before you eternity on earth. So if you die, would they be eternal? Meaning, how can people say that you can live forever? Today, people are coming up with all kinds of technology and systems where they're freezing the body because they don't want to die. You know, there's people spend and they rent this place where they can put a lot of money. And when they are into some kind of an illness, which is terminally ill and they're about to die, they don't let them die and they freeze the body before their death. Thinking that one day when the system will be there and the medicine will be there, the cure will be there, they can unfreeze their bodies and they will live again. Can you imagine how stupid of a human that is? Because if they do wake up, if such things like this happens, who are they going to live with? They will be so outcast in the society because society would have been changed and the family that they love, they will not be there. So what's the point of living them alone in such different era? People don't realize it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, what are you thinking? Think about it. Where is your intellect? What are you using your intellect for? To live this life forever? Can you still do that? Have you ever heard the news in newspaper that you know what somebody who's living for 1,000 years? Did you ever heard this news anywhere in any reputable newspaper? No, because nobody's living forever. And it is He who created the night and the day and the sun and the moon, all heavenly bodies in an orbit and are swimming. And we did not grant to any man before your eternity on earth. So if you die, would they be eternal? Every soul will taste death. كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Highlight this ayah. Write it down in your notes because this is important that we remember. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشِّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And we test you with evil and we good and with good as trial. And to us, you will be returned. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly said that all the goodness is also a trial. And when those who disbelieve see you, O Prophet, they take you not except in ridicule, saying, is this the one who mentioned this that is insults your God? And they are at the mention of the most merciful disbelievers. Today also we see people make fun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen, and they say, oh, these religious people, you know, they're so boring. They always come and they stop whatever we're doing. They're always telling us not to do this and not to do that. I don't like these people. I want to stay away from them. You know, this is why you see people whose heart is not into Quran, even if you invite them, they don't come. May Allah really truly guide the whole ummah and bring them to Quran. Man was created of haste. What do we learn here? خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجْلٍ. It is in the system of men's built-in that is ever hasty, that is impatient. I will show you my signs, that is, so do not impatiently urge me. Meaning, are you asking for this the Day of Judgment? You don't have no idea what it is and the severity of it, and you're just questioning out of the blue, not knowing anything. And they say, when is this promise if you should be truthful? You know why people ask this question? Because when they are making fun of it in their heart deep down, they don't have the reality of the Day of Judgment. That's when they ask these questions. In those who disbelieve but knew the time when they will not avert the fire from their faces or from their backs, and they will not be aided. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they will not be able to avert the fire from their faces. What it means is that the whole body, including the faces, will be enveloped in fire. May Allah save us all. Rather, it will come to them unexpectedly and bewilder them, and they will not be able to repel it, nor will they be reprieved. May Allah save us and give us ability to understand the severity of these ayahs. And already were messengers ridiculed before you, but those who mocked them were enveloped by what they used to ridicule. What do we learn in this paragraph? Soak yourself in water of revelation, not just sprinkle it here and there. People are very happy. Just take the couple of ayahs here and there and they just recite those ayahs in a form of the ah, or recite those ayahs because this makes them feel good. Maybe Surah Mulk at night, maybe Surah Kahf in Jummah, and they think they're done with it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, this is the water that your body needs all the time. Soak yourself in the water of revelation. Let's make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just like body needs water, our souls does too. No one lives forever. We will not be. Do you remember your mother-in-law's or father-in-law's mother and great-grandfather and their name? Or your mother or your grandmother or their grandmother's name? You don't even know the names of your great-great-grandmothers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, nobody lives forever. And very important thing is, do not make fun of deen. And death has two tastes. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word da'iqa. Da'iqa means taste, right? So death is of two kinds, sweet and bitter. How do we know that? The soul of the believer will be taken out with a very sweet way, very gentle way, and he will taste the death not too hard. And the body of the believer, body of the disbeliever, when the death will be taken away from its body, it will hurt him so much and it will be very painful, and he will not forget the pain of death. So let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the death of a believer. This is why there are many du'as. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us to die upon death, to die upon iman. And what should we do? Should we be fearful of death? No. Should not be fearful of death. Prepare for death. You know why? Because it's like that examination hall. When you are prepared for your exam, remember your school days, when you used to go to school, when you had exam day, the test day, the quiz day, if you are prepared, are you uncomfortable that day? No. you were very comfortable because you knew the answer and you filled the paper out and you handed it to your examination hall in charge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying those people who are really not afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the ones who are scared of death. But people are afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya and they prepare for the death, it's easy for them. So as a believer, you and I, we can ask this question, self-analysis question. If I am scared of death, that means I need to worry about and fix myself. If I think that if I die right this moment, I will be happy. And you know why the believers are happy to die? Because it is the death that is keeping them away to meet their Lord. And it is the death, the minute they die, that means they will enter into this another world. There Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. And they are happy to see them. They're looking forward to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why their soul, their death is sweet to them. In the next paragraph, ayah number 42 to 50, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just and fair. So, say, who can protect you at night or by day from the most merciful, but they are from the remembrance of their Lord turning away? When people turn away from Allah's mercy and remembrance, they are basically not realizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just and fair and they will get the consequences. As a believer, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon us, because if we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be just and fair, then we will be in trouble because we have too many problems, too many mistakes, and we only be able to save ourselves with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, or do they have gods to defend them other than us? They are unable even to help themselves, nor can they be protected from us. But on the contrary, we have provided good things for these disbelievers and their fathers until life was prolonged for them. Then, do they not see that we set upon the land, reducing it and from its borders? Is it they who will overcome? Say, I only warn you by revelation. But the deaf do not hear the call when they are warned. May Allah save us from this kind of deafness that people are not able to hear it. And if as much as a whiff of the punishment of your Lord should touch them, they would surely say, oh, woe to us. Indeed, we have been wrongdoers. And you know what people say? So what? We're Muslim. We say kalima. If we go to Jahannam for a few days, so it's okay. And here Allah is saying, even Nafhatun, meaning a small whiff from far away, not even close. If even they feel that, they will have in the regrets, deep, deep regrets. How come we didn't really listen to the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In other words, we cannot take this world very easy. And we place the scales of justice for the day of resurrection so no soul will be treated unjustly at all. What do we learn in this ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fair and just. Everything will be weighed down. And if there is even the weight of a mustard seed, have you ever seen the mustard seed? Most of you probably know how to cook, right? So if you know how the mustard seed, the size of the mustard seed is, if you put in your index finger, it will be like this tiny dot. It's like a period. When you put a period on a, after the sentence, how tiny this is. This is how mustard seed is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, even that much will be not done wrongly to anyone. So what do we understand? We really need to take it seriously because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ آتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَانْ بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. And we will bring it forth and sufficient are we as account. And we had already given Musa and Harun the criterion and a light and a reminder for the righteous who fear their Lord unseen. This is the khashi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why we don't see Him. Because on the day of judgment, when we will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be over anyway. Then it will not help us. This has happened to Fir'aun. When he was drowning, that's when he said, I believe in the God of Musa and Harun. Do you think it helped him? No. So this is why fearing Allah unseen, that's where the khashiyah lies. And this is what we should be longing for. So who fear their Lord unseen while they are of the hour apprehensive? And this Quran is a blessed message. Allah, make this Quran blessed for us, which we have sent down, then our And then, are you with it unacquainted? And we had certainly given Ibrahim his sound judgment before, and we were him of well knowing. In this paragraph from 42 to 50, we learn that Allah will weigh every deed. Nothing will be missed, not even the tiniest deed which we don't consider very valuable. And documentation is part of Islam. This is why Allah SWT is saying everything will be written. In this dunya, people take documentation very lightly, even though you and I should write everything down, especially important stuff, especially when you're dealing, especially when there's money involved. You know why? Because this is the document, lack of documentation. Muslim Ummah is lacking in organization. Everything should be planned, right? Everything should be in a written form. So there is no disagreements later on. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write everything down, and the angels are writing everything down. So there is no oh, I didn't say that. I didn't do that. And be a sin watcher. You know what it means? It means careful about your sins. What I'm doing, what I'm saying, what I did yesterday. And if you remember any sin right now, this moment, any mistake that you have made or I have made, say astaghfirullah right now. Because you don't want that sin to appear on your weighing scale. Because it will weigh your weighing scale down. So in other words, you know, people do bird watching. You and I should be doing, a believer should be doing sin watching. Every time some mistake happens and he realizes it and he does it right away. In other words, count your calories of sins. People spend counting the calories, how much they're eating, because they don't want to get fat. So if we don't want to get burned, then we should count our sins so we can ask repentance right in this dunya before it's too late. And be grateful to your helpers, people who help you out in doing things, and fulfill the rights of the people. So important. And ask for mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the fairness. Then we will be doomed if we ask for fairness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very fair. Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera. This is a dua we should ask for the easy reckoning. That's, I'm going to repeat it so you can say it with me. Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera. Let's go to the next paragraph. Ayah number 51 to 75. We learn, should you listen to the intellect or heart? Because now we're going to learn the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, of course, was given heart and intellect both. The people who use intellect over their heart, they are the one who get lost in this dunya. People who use intellect in just the beginning and then they transfer their information to the heart, they are the one who become mu'minun. They are the one who become like Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown in a fire. If it was his intellect, he would not have jumped into it. He would say, you know what, I cannot, because this is not the right thing to do. I don't want to change his faith. And he would agree with the King Namrud was telling him to do, because he was seeing all the fire being prepared for him. It took days for that fire, that huge fire pit, to be burned. And it was such a massive fire that they had to use a crane type structure to throw him in the fire. And yet he was keeping his cool and calm. If it was his intellect, then he would say, no, 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 this is not right. But you know what? His heart was in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His trust and his belief was in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why you and I can really figure out if it's my intellect that is stopping me to waste time, in other words, use time in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then means I should listen to my heart, because it's the heart that will drive you towards the good deeds and the Jannah and the khushi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ. And we had certainly given Ibrahim his sound judgment before, and we were of him a well-knowing. This is the theme I have today, what we learned here. Ibrahim alayhi salam was given this rushd. This is why he was able to do impossible things, the things that appears to be very wrong to the human intellect. For example, somebody's telling you, I'm going to throw you in a fire. You say, okay, go ahead. Don't you think it feels impossible and not right thing to do? But this is what rushd is. He saw beyond that fire pit and he was cool and calm. And you know what? We learned that Ibrahim alayhi salam's, the days that he spent in the fire, where his one of the narration is, that day he said that was the beautiful days of his life. Why? Because he did not use his intellect and he used his heart to be jumped in the fire. So what do we learn here? That sometimes people who are too smart, they are the one who turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today's atheists, they consider themselves very smart. And this is why you and I need rushd and ask this rushd for ourselves and for our kids and our generations, because today we live in the fitna of intellect. So when we said to his father and his people, what are these statues to? When he said to his father and his people, what are these statues you which, to which you are devoted? They said, we found our fathers worshippers of them. Look at the answer. This is the reason many people give when they are worshipping something, that, oh, we're following the tradition of our people. And he said, you are certainly, you and your father, in manifest error. They said, have you come to us with truth, or are you of those who jest? He said, no, rather your Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, who created them, and I too, that I am of those who testify. And I swear by Allah, I will surely plan against your idols after you have turned and gone away. So he made them into fragments, except a large or a large one among them, that they might return to it and question. Why Ibrahim alayhi salam was able to be so bold? You know why? Because he was given this rushd, and he said, you know what, instead of me fighting with them, when they were gone, and he destroyed all the idols they had. And then he left the big one, and he put the axe that he used to destroy the idols on the shoulder of the big one. So when they come, look at the way Ibrahim alayhi salam answered. This shows that Ibrahim alayhi salam had so much intellect to use in his favor, to how to answer the situation and how to handle it the proper way. They said, who has done this to our gods? Look at the question. Somebody is asking, who has done this to God? Don't you think that their intellect was gone? Don't you think that they were free and they were in mind trapped in this dunya? Because they are the one who is asking, who destroyed our gods? They forgot that gods, if they are the gods, don't you think that the gods should have protected themselves? What kind of God they are worshipping? The gods did not protect him. And indeed, he is of the wrongdoers. They said, we heard a young man, mention them who is called Ibrahim. They said, then bring him before the eyes of the people that they may testify. They said, have you done this to our gods, O Ibrahim? Look at the questions. They are asking a young boy that, did you destroy our gods? Look, they're following the gods that cannot protect themselves. This is how blind human gets when they have arrogance in them. He said, rather, this largest of them did it. So ask him if they should be able to speak. Look, Ibrahim alayhi salam's smartness. Instead of he answering them, he's making them think. He's making them realize, look, if your God is God and they're powerful enough to take care of you, you should ask them. And then they reverse themselves, saying, you have already known that these do not speak and they still worship. May Allah save from this kind of blindness. He said, then do you worship instead of Allah that which does not benefit you at all or harm you? Look at the logical points he's giving to them. Oof, to you and to what you worship instead of Allah. Then will you not use reason? They said, burn him. Look, this is what people do. Instead of feeling the defeat and acknowledging the defeat and agreeing with the reasoning that he is giving, they turn away. You know what we learn here? You should not attack people directly. And then when they turn away, and then what did they say? Burn him and support your gods. And if you are to act, what do we learn here? They got mad at Ibrahim alayhi salam. Why? Because their hearts were closed. We, that is Allah, said, O fire, be coolness and safety upon Ibrahim alayhi salam. Wasalaman ala Ibrahim. What do we learn here? When Ibrahim alayhi salam spoke up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stood up for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did for him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the fire cool upon him. What's the quality of the fire? What is the chemical creation of the fire? Fire's job is to burn. Is fire's job is to cool you down? No. Fire is just there to burn things. And you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the chemical composition of the fire. Fire is supposed to burn things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the fire cool on him. You know why? Because Ibrahim alayhi salam stood up for the truth. Lesson for us. If you and I stay firm on our deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cool any type of fire that is going on in our life, whether it be from family, whether it be from society, whether it be from anything else. So rest assured, if you are steadfast in your deen, Allah will cool your fires down. And they intended for him a plan that is harm, but we made them the greatest losers. This is Allah. When Allah gets on your side, nothing can harm you. And we delivered him and the lot to the land which we had blessed from the worlds, from the world that is people. And then we gave him Ishaq and Yaqub. In addition, and all of them, we made righteous. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Ibrahim so many beautiful gems in form of righteous kids to Ibrahim alayhi salam? Did you ever wonder? Because Ibrahim alayhi salam was alone and he stood up for Allah's name. If you and I feel alone when the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our families with not with us, don't worry, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with so many blessings in the form of righteous kids and whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. And we made them leaders guiding by our command. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make our offsprings leaders. And we inspire to them the doing of the good deeds. Do we want this inspiration for ourselves, the doing of the good deeds? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us all these favors too. We inspire to them the doing of the good deeds, establishment of the prayer, and giving of zakah, and they were worshippers of us. This is what the end result is for working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to Lot, we gave judgment and knowledge, hukman wa ilman, and we saved him from the city that was committing wicked deeds. Indeed, they were the people of evil, defiantly disobedient. Question. If you want to be saved from this, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, if you can save others, you can save us too from all the filth that is going on in the society where our kids are involved in it. They are actually facing all these things every single day. May Allah save them. And we admit him into our mercy. Indeed, he was the righteous. What did we learn from this paragraph? Iman makes you bold. Let's work on our iman. As for hikmah, rushed like Ibrahim alayhi salam, so we're able to see right through the problems and able to see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of cool fire. Allah makes things easy for a true believer when they serve Allah's deen. Self-analysis here is that, how is my relationship with Ibrahim alayhi salam? And if I love Ibrahim alayhi salam, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Ibrahim alayhi salam's name is not complete. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always talk about him that he was not among mushrikeen, meaning he was very sincere and devoted. And this is why every salah, when we pray, the salah is not complete until we say what? Until we say salutations upon Ibrahim alayhi salam. Our salah will be nullified if we don't say the durood of Ibrahim alayhi salam and then Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates. And Allah makes impossible possible for those who do not hesitate. Ibrahim alayhi salam did not use his intellect. He did not hesitate at all while falling in the fire. And action right in here is that, as for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose us and make us do the big wonders in this life. In the next slide, you see the dua that we did in the morning. Allahumma alhimni rushdi wa aidni min shari nafsi. Let's ask this dua. Not just recite it, just ask it. Because when you ask this dua with the ayah that we have learned about Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was given the rushd. And then along with that, we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now, right this moment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it, inshaAllah. Allahumma alhimni rushdi. Wa'izni min sharri nafsi. O Allah, inspire me to be rightly guided and protect me from the evil of myself. Ayah number 76 to 93. This is a beautiful section. You will all love. You know why? Because in this we learn the du'as of the prophets. So many du'as, inshallah. You will learn 3 du'as. I think it will come in this section. And the du'as, then we will learn some commonality, why their du'as were accepted, and what were the personality traits prophets had, and what are the du'a etiquettes they had, right? So now, the story of Nuh alayhi salam begins. The beautiful story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, we learned so much. And from the story of Nuh alayhi salam, let's see what's in it for us. وَنُوحَ الْإِذْنَادَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَآلَهُ مِنَ الْكَرْبِ الْعَظِيمِ. And mention Nuh when he called to Allah before that time, so we responded to him and saved him and his family from the great affliction. What do we learn here? If Nuh alayhi salam asked the du'a, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we saved him from Karb al-Azim, meaning great affliction. What was the great affliction? Great affliction of inviting people, working for Allah, and nobody was listening. Great affliction when people are keep on denying you and keep thinking that you're wrong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we saved him. May Allah save us all from Karb al-Azim of our lives. And we aided that it saved him from the people who denied our signs. Indeed, they were people of evil. So we drowned them all together. This is what happened to the Fir'aun, and this is what happened to all the people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved his prophets. You know why? Because they are working along with the believers who follow them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always saved them. And mention Dawood and Suleiman when they judged concerning the field, when the sheep of the people overran and at night, and we were witness to their judgment, and we gave understanding of the that is the east to Suleiman, and to each of them we gave judgment and knowledge, and we subjected the mountains to exalt us along with the Dawood and also the birds, and we were doing that. Dawood alayhi salam was given beautiful voice. May Allah give us good beautiful voice so we can recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the perfect way. And ayah number 80, and we taught him the fashioning of the coats of armor to protect you from your enemy in battle. So will you then be grateful? And to Suleiman, we subjected the winds blowing forcefully, proceeding by his commands towards the land which we had blessed, and we are ever of all things knowing. And of the devils, that is jinn, were those who dived for him, and with and did work then work other than that we were of them a guardian. And mention Ayyub when he called to his Lord, indeed adversity has touched me, and you are the most merciful of the merciful. Ayah number 83 is the dua of Ayyub alayhi salam, and this dua is the dua of shifa. When somebody gets sick, somebody is ill, this is the dua they need to ask. And look at the manners of asking dua. What Ayyub alayhi salam is saying in this dua? He is saying, "Inni masani al-durru wa anta arhamur rahimin." First, he is acknowledging that I have a pain, I am in suffering. And did he say that I am in a suffering? Oh Allah, please cure me. This is what we say, right? Oh Allah, I am suffering from such and such illness. Please cure me. This is not what he said. He said, "I am suffering from such and such disease, and you are the most merciful." In other words, Allah already knows that you're suffering. So instead of saying, "Oh Allah, cure me," you say, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are merciful." How beautiful this manner of du'a that we need to learn. And you mark this number down for your reference so you can actually use this du'a when there's need for it. And فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرٍّ. So we responded to him and removed what afflicted him of adversity, and we gave him back his family and the like thereof with them as mercy from us and a reminder for the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And mention Ismail and Idris and Dhulkifl, all were of the patient. Notice here what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning about them, their highlighted quality of being sabir, patient. And we admitted them into our mercy. Indeed, they were of the righteous and of the qualities of all the prophets. And mention the man of the fish. Who is that? The Yunus alayhi salam. When he went off in anger and thought that we would not decree anything upon him, and he called out without the darknesses, within the darknesses, "There is no deity except you. You exalted Exalted are you indeed. I have been in the wrongdoers. What is the du'a of Yunus alayhi salam? Yunus alayhi salam du'a is that La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. Write down this reference ayah number 87. This is the du'a. This is the ayat karima. That means this du'a is actually something that can take you people out of any and severe kind of hardship, severe kind of darkness, severe kind of pains and suffering they may be going through. And this du'a is a cure for it. And you know how many times you should say this du'a? If you even say it once with sincerity, that should be enough. You don't have to count. Just say it not from your lips. Just say it not because you're just saying it the words from your tongue. Say it from your heart and believe it. And notice here the wording of this du'a. The du'a, it starts with what? It's first he's saying, La ilaha illa anta. Meaning he's recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no one besides you. There is no one who can help me. Only you. And this sincerity is what make the dua accepted. And after that, what did he say? Subhanallah, you are exalted. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. And the second part, he's saying that yes, I have committed a sin and I am among the zalimin. Meaning, I disobeyed you. This is why this beautiful etiquette of making du'a, these wordings, if you and I ask, we cannot ask du'as like that. So this is why we need to really know how to ask the du'as like the prophets did. And so we responded to him and saved him from the distress. And thus do we save the believers. And mentioned Zakaria. And he called to his Lord. And this is the third dua in this paragraph. It's how beautiful this section is, right? So, Zakaria is not a Rabbahu. Rabbi la tazarni fardan wa anta khairul warithin. What is he saying? He's saying, my Lord, do not leave me alone with no heir, while you are the best of the inheritors. Here also, see, he's saying, do not leave me alone. Why? Because you, I trust in you, and you are the best of the inheritors. This is the du'a to be said to any person who does not have any kids and they want it. Why? Because in the case of Zakaria alayhi salam, he was old and the circumstances were not right. And he made the du'a and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this du'a. And what else we learn from here is that never despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today they say, if you have already reached the age of 35 after plus and 40 or something, do not even try to conceive a child. Who are they to tell you that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make miracles happen. If you are you have a child and you want more child, it's okay. You can make du'a for it. And if you don't have any child, never, no matter what age group you are, never stop making, because you are getting the reward of making the du'a anyway. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you child in any form, maybe your own child, maybe in your grandchildren, or maybe another form, or maybe the whole ummah can become your child who will make du'a for you if you do something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So never stop making du'a for that. Ayah number 90. So we responded to him. Notice every time we learn about the du'a of our prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and we respond to them. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their du'as. And we gave him Yahya and amended for him his wife. Meaning his wife was barren and she was old on top of that. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixed her. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make anything happen. Indeed, they used to hasten to good deeds and supplicate us in hope and fear. And they were to us humbly submissive. These are the qualities of people. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their du'a. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with a pious child. What are the qualities of the du'a? يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ. Inshallah, I'll explain to you in a minute. Let me just finish this paragraph first. And mention the one who guarded his chastity, that is Maryam. So we blew into her garment through our angel Jibreel, and we made her and her son a sign for the worlds. Indeed, this, your religion is one religion, and I am your Lord, so worship me. And yet they divided their affair, that is, to their religion among themselves, but all to us will return. What did we learn in this paragraph? Prophets, the du'as are very comprehensive. We should memorize them. Allah bestows rahmah upon patient ones only. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. Prophets did not go to any grave. They did not call any friends. They did not say to them, oh, please make du'a for me. They had the direct connection. It's like, you know, when you and I have this direct satellite connection, the TV comes in our homes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they had the direct satellite connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listened to their du'as. And connection of the heart with Allah, this is what makes the du'as to be accepted. And Allah gives unexpected goodness who runs towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a sunnah of prophets to ask Allah only. If you go to the next slide, you see that Allah gives unusual blessings to those who have these qualities. يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَحْبًا. What are the qualities mentioned? Run towards good deeds, hasten towards good deeds, hurry towards good deeds, don't take them lightly, and supplicate us in hope and fear. The combination of hope and fear both should be there. Sometimes people get very daredevil making dua. They're saying that, oh Allah, it's my right, give me that. No, this is not the proper etiquette of making dua. So let's make this dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us hope and fear when we ask this dua. And what is the commonality between all the prophets? Why their duas are accepted? Number one thing we learn about all the prophets is that they all had extreme level of patience. You and I should also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to develop this quality of patience. Number two, they had extreme level of reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawakkul al Allah. And number three, they kept themselves busy serving Allah's deen. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses us to have all these qualities so our du'as are accepted too. Ayah number 94 to 112, in the next paragraph, we learn about a well-documented system. What is it? Ayah number 94. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَا كُفْرَانَ لِسَعْيِهِ وَإِنَّا لَهُ كَاتِبُونَ. So whoever does righteous deeds, while he is a believer, no denial will there be for his efforts. And indeed, we, that is our angels, of it are recorders. See, another ayah about the writing, the documentation. Documentation is part of our deen. Everything is being written. And it is prohibited to the people of a city which we have destroyed that they will ever return. Meaning once you're gone, you're gone. You cannot come back. There is no second chance. It's a one-way road to Akhirah. There is no U-turn. There is no detour. There is no second flight. In this dunya, if you miss one flight, you can catch another one. But once the death comes upon, there is no turning back. So time is of the essence. Until when the dam of Gog and Magog, Juj Majuj, has been opened and they from every elevation descend. The Sahaba, when the Sahaba was very worried, and then Prophet ﷺ shared this news to them that out of 1,000 people, 999 people will go to hell. Only one will go to heaven. Isn't that so scary? One out of every 1,000 people, 999 will go to hell. This is such a scary thing. When Sahaba heard this hadith, they were so afraid and they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, don't worry, for in them, Gog and Magog will be there too. Ya'juj and Majuj will be there too in them. So what we learn here is that having iman, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is such a big treasure. Value it. And then, when the true promise, that is the resurrection, has approached, then suddenly the eyes of those who disbelieve will be staring in horror while they say, oh, woe to us. We had been unmindful of this. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the word ghafla. Ghafla is when you are heedless, unmindful, don't pay attention, think nothing of it, ignore. May Allah save us from this ghafla of the hearts and the eyes and the ears. And rather, we were wrongdoers. Indeed, you disbelievers and what you worship other than Allah are the firewood of hell. You will be coming to enter it. Had these false deities been actual gods, they would not have come to it, but all are eternal therein. for them therein is heavy sighing, and they therein will not hear. And indeed, those for whom the best reward has proceeded from us, they are from it far removed. They will not hear its sound while they are in that with their soul's desire abiding eternally. Meaning, in this dunya, when people run away from good deeds and iman, and over there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep them far away from good things. And they will not be grieved by the greater terror, and the angels will meet them saying, this is your day, which you have been promised. The day when we will fold the heavens like the folding of the written sheets for the records, and as we began the first creation, we will repeat it. That is a promise binding upon us. Can we see these words? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this khalqi nu'iduhu wa'adan alayna. Is there a promise anybody else can do, which is so true? Or the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is so true? And we will repeat it, and that is promise binding upon us. Indeed, we will do it. And we have already written in the book of the Psalms, after the previous mention, that the land of the paradise is inherited by my righteous servants. Indeed, in this Quran is notification for our worshipping people. The people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the one who are guided. And we have not sent you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except as a mercy to the worlds. Say, it is only revealed to me that your God is but one God. So will you be Muslims in submission to him? But if they turn away, then say, I have announced to all of you equally, and I know not whether near or far is that which you are promised. Indeed, he knows what is declared of speech, and he knows what you conceal. And I know not, perhaps it is trial for you and enjoyment for a time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, my Lord, judge between us in truth, and our Lord is the most merciful, the one whose help is sought against that which you describe. Beautiful ending. We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, and nothing will go unnoticed before Allah's eyes. Everything, even the sigh, the roll of eye, everything is recorded. And iman is a big, huge treasure. Value it. Pious ones are the inheritors of the Jannah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the mercy for the whole mankind. Rahmatul lil alameen. This is one of the titles given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How beautiful. The beautiful surah Al-Anbiya has just ended. Inshallah. We're going to start Surah Al-Hajj. Let's listen to the recitation of the first couple of ayahs, and then we'll begin Surah Al-Hajj.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد ومن الناس من يجادل في الله بغير علم ويتبع كل شيطان مريد كتب عليه أنه من تولاه فأنه يضله ويهديه إلى عذاب السعير
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سورة الحج بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Surah Hajj is one of the ritual of Islam, and this is the ritual that requires all kinds of effort. It requires physical effort, it requires your money, it requires your time, it requires you're traveling, everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this Hajj mandatory, and Hajj has a lot of similarities with the Day of Judgment. Why? Because in the Hajj, people go and travel for the Hajj. On the Day of Judgment, people will be walking towards the plain of Yawmul Qiyamah. And during Hajj, people give up their life and live as a destitute, and they have nothing else with them. During Hajj, people only have two pieces of cloth, and this is what's going to happen on a Day of Judgment. People will not carry anything, no suitcases with them, only the two pieces of white cloth. During Hajj, people wear these white cloths, and during Qiyamah, when people are shrouded when they die, they are shrouded in the two pieces of white cloth. In this dunya, they can wear whatever they want, all the colorful stuff, and all the name brand stuff that they die for. They live their life planning for those outfits, and on the Day of Judgment, from this dunya, when they're leaving, they will be wearing only two pieces of white cloth, no name brand on it, no name brand stuff, no pattern, no matching shoes with it either. So it will be all on the Day of Judgment, the people will be barefoot. And when we do Hajj, we are also barefoot. And when in the Day of Judgment, the people will be in a large crowd of number. All you see is the sea of people. And in Hajj, during also, we see the sea of people. And everybody will be only worried about themselves doing the Hajj rituals. This is also the case. And there are so many things in similarity. And the focus of people when they do Hajj is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over there on the Day of Judgment. Nobody will remember anything about this dunya. They only worry about that time, that moment that they're there to see in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, let's learn. Ya ayyuha nasu taqoo rabbakum inna zalzalata sa'ati shay'un azim. O mankind, fear your Lord. Indeed, the conversion of the final hour is a terrible thing. So what do we learn in this first paragraph? We will learn from ayah number 1 to 10, the similarities between Hajj and Qiyamah. On the day, you see it, every nursing mother will be distracted from the child she was nursing. And every pregnant woman will abort her pregnancy. And you will see the people appearing intoxicated while they are not intoxicated, but the punishment of Allah is severe. Try to feel the horror of this day. You know why? Because what is more important to mother than anything else? Mother doesn't care about, or even herself, she cares about her child. The horrors of that day will forget her about her own child. And the pregnant woman will have a miscarriage because they will be so scared and there will be no need for any more kids and they will have the miscarriage. Can you imagine if you are mother and if you know any mothers, do you know how much mothers love their child? And when is the moment in this dunya when a mother can let go of the child? Never. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put extreme love in the heart of the mother for her child. And the horror of the day, the mother will forget about breastfeeding child. Can you imagine? She won't even care if the child is crying out of hunger. In this dunya, can any mother do that? And over there, when people will be dealing about nafsi, only self, and they even forget about the baby. You know, before I go forward, try to just take a 10-second pause and close your eyes and try to feel the horror. Can I do that? What am I going to be doing there at that day? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to you and I? And of the people is he who disputes Allah about Allah without knowledge and follows every rebellious devil. It has been decreed for him, that is every devil, that whoever turns to him, he will misguide him and will lead him to the punishment of the blaze. O people, if you should be in doubt about the resurrection, then consider that indeed, we created you from dust, and from a sperm drop, then from a clinging cloth, and then from a lump of a flesh, and formed and unformed, that we may show you, and we settle in the wombs, whom we will for a specified term, and then we bring you out as a child, and then we develop you, and that you may reach your time of maturity. And among you is he who is taken in early death, and among you is he who has returned to the most decrepit old age, so that he knows after once having knowledge nothing, and you see the earth barren, but when we send down upon it rain, it quivers and swells and grows something of every beautiful kind. It's a very long ayah, but it tells you the whole thing. Allah SWT is saying, if people have doubt about the Day of Judgment, they should know the process of the creation of the human being. How can Allah SWT turn one small tiny drop into what? Tiny drop into a human flesh, and all the steps that science have just recently discovered about the baby formation. Every 40 days a change happens, and we learn this in hadith also and in this ayah. This is Allah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so real and telling the information before the science has come up with this information, what do we learn? We learn here that know your the reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you out of a small sperm drop, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recreate you on the Day of Judgment. Why people are in dissension? Why people are not getting? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes make the miscarriages happen, and sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the baby full term. It is up to Allah's decision. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, somebody dies early in the age, somebody dies in the later in the age. There is no age limit. You cannot say, oh, I am still young. I'm in my 20s, 30s, 40s. I have plenty of age to live. How do we know? Allah SWT is saying somebody can die in a young age. Today we hear so many deaths of early age deaths. Even yes, just this morning I heard the news. A three-year-old boy, he's diagnosed with COVID-19. Three-year-old boy. Can you imagine? So Allah knows best, and sometimes people reach the age up to 90, 99, 100, and sometimes they die in their 10s, 20s, 30s. And teenage deaths are so common nowadays. How can people be still in this age of heedlessness? And then Allah SWT says somebody reaches the old age where they actually lose intellect. The things that they used to do, they cannot even remember. You have heard the stories of Alzheimer's patients. They even forget how to swallow a bite. And this is how the low of intellect they become, because this is the reality of life. Allah SWT is teaching us here. That is because Allah is the true reality, and because He gives life to the dead, and because He is over all things competent, and that they may know hour is coming, no doubt about it, and that Allah will resurrect those in the grave. And of the people of, and ayah number 8, and of the people is he who disputes about Allah without knowledge or guidance or an enlightening book from him, twisting his neck in arrogance. Highlight this word. ثاني إدفه ليضل عن سبيل الله لهو في الدنيا خزي. What Allah SWT is saying in this ayah, ayah number 9, Allah SWT is saying, twisting his neck in arrogance to mislead people from the way of Allah SWT for him in the world is disgrace. And we will make him taste on the day of resurrection the punishment of the burning fire, while it is said that that is for what your hands have put forth, and because Allah is not ever unjust to his servants. So scary. So what do we learn in this paragraph? We learn that observe Hajj, practice. When you are doing Hajj, practice about Qiyamah, because the Hajj is basically a practice and gives you a glimpse that you will be one day resurrecting, and you will be going in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like during Kaaba in the Tawaf, all we have is focus that we are only circumambulating in front of the Kaaba for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. And of course, with your imaginary eyes, try to imagine the horror of that day. And human creation is a miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has listed. Today, science is really baffled. How come this thing is written so many years ago? I heard the story of this man who was 54-year-old doctor. And when he found this ayah, he accepted Islam. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can open up a heart of anyone. We as Muslim women, when we go to the hospital for our checkup, we should discuss these ayahs, especially to our gynecologists and stuff. Why? Because this opportunity, when it comes in our way to give da'wah, we should, and prepare for the qiyamah. And then ayah number 11 to 22, we learn here is that those who want to stay near exit. There are some people who don't want to come all the way in the circle of Islam. They like to stay in the outer circle. So when there's something goodness, they can come in. And when there's some hardship, they can move out. Think of the room where, like, for example, it's a room, and if somebody, you know, it happens sometimes when there's a halakha and there's a lecture going on, some people come and they come in and they grab the first row seats, and some people who come, they grab the last row so they can just get up whenever they want to. If they feel like going out and taking a nap or taking a snack or a break or something, they can get out. So there are some people like that. Allah SWT talks about them in this ayah number. That's 11. And of the people is he who worship Allah on an edge. Question. Is that the right thing to do? You know, Islam seems difficult to those who don't want to come in and give in all the way. For them, Islam has this thing hard and that thing hard. That command is so much and that command is too much because they don't feel that they need to come in. Once you come in, it's cool. It's beautiful. It's easy. And if he's touched by the good, he's resurrected by it, reassured by it. But if he is struck by trial, he turns on his face to unbelief. He has lost this world and the hereafter. That is what is the manifest loss. So let's make dua that once we are Muslim, we come all the way in the Islam. Earlier we learned the ayah, Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa, enter in the fold of Islam completely. This ayah is basically the opposite of that. The people who stay outside in the circle, and they're the more dangerous one. It's like, you know, when you're sitting in a boat, if you are in the center of the boat, you're more secure when the storm comes. If you're sitting in the edge of the boat, you will be the first one to go out, right? So always try to keep yourself in the company of good, pious people, or else it will be easy to go astray. He invokes instead of Allah that which neither harm nor benefits him. That is what is the extreme error. He invokes one whose harm is closer than its benefit. How wretched the protector and how wretched the associate. Indeed, Allah will admit those who believe and do righteous deeds to the garden beneath which river flows. Indeed, Allah does what he intends. Allah make us among those. Whoever should think that Allah will not support him, that is Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in this world and in the hereafter, let him extend a rope to the ceiling, then cut it off his breath, and let him see that will his effort remove that which energizes him. Allah SWT is saying, go ahead, try it, do the experience. If you want to run away from Allah SWT, can you save yourself? And thus, do we send it, that is the Quran, down as verses of clear evidence, and because Allah guides whom he intends. Indeed, those who have believed, and those who were Jews, and the Sabians, and the Christians, and the Magians, and those who associated with Allah, Allah will judge between them on the day of resurrection. Indeed, Allah is over all things witness. And do you not see, that is, know that to Allah prostrate whoever is in the heavens and the earth, and whoever is on the earth, and the sun and the moon, and the stars and the moons, and the trees, and the moving creatures, and many of the people. Notice here, Allah SWT is saying, in the universe, everything is doing sujood to Allah SWT. Ta'ala. But when it comes to people, Allah SWT says, many of the people, وَكَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ, meaning, not all. What do we learn here? Dara people disobey Allah SWT. Ta'ala. Sujood is such a beautiful thing. If you and I are giving this opportunity to do sujood in front of Allah SWT, ta'ala, feel blessed. But upon many, the punishment has been justified, and he whom Allah humiliates, for him there is no bestower of the honor. Indeed, Allah does what he wills. These are the two adversaries who have disputed over their Lord, but those who disbelieve will have cut for them garments of the fire. Notice here, Allah SWT is saying, لَهُمْ ثِيَابٌ فِي النَّارِ, meaning their garments of the fire has been cut, tailor-made to fit their sizes. Meaning, you know, cutting is a long, those of you who actually sew, they should know that the cutting is the part that takes time because you have to plan for it. Once the garment is cut, it is easy to just sew it. Allah SWT is saying the garment for the people of the disbelievers and the people of the Jahannam is already pre-cut, ready to go. But which is melted that within their bellies and their skins, and for striking them are maces of iron. It's not even easy to imagine all this. May Allah save us all. Allahumma la taj'alna minhum. Say it. Allahumma la taj'alna minhum. Every time they want to get out of it, the hellfire, from anguish, they will be returned to it. Meaning they will be forced back into it. And it will be said, taste the punishment of the burning fire. Lahumma la tajalna minhum. What did we learn from this paragraph? Enter completely, or it's easy to slip away. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us those who do sujood. And the garments of the Jahannams are pre-cut, tailored to the size. And observe boiling water and think. Next time when you go in a kitchen and make yourself tea or coffee, try to look at the water and think about it. Can you drink that boiling water? Can we even take a only teaspoonful of that boiling water? If not, then it should be enough for us to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay away from the sins. And Allah is watching everything. Ayah number 23 to 25, we learn Allah gives them kalima. What if we learn? It's a beautiful little paragraph, inshallah. In ayah number 23, we learn here. Indeed, Allah will admit those who believe and do righteous deeds to gardens beneath which river flows. They will be adorned therein with bracelets of gold and pearl, and their garment therein will be silk. How beautiful we would look, inshallah, if we work for Allah. Let's ask for Allah's mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows this Jannah that we're learning, and we can be sitting together in this dunya. We may not see each other at all because we live in different parts of the world, but we can meet in Jannah. Can we have this desire right now? And they had been guided in worldly life to good speech. What is this? وَهُدُنْ إِلَىٰ طَيِّبٍ مِّنَ الْقَوْلِ. May Allah give us this good speech. And a good speech is this kalima. And this kalima, once upon enter upon the heart, then it doesn't leave. And this is the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to. Alhamdulillah. And they were guided to the path of the praiseworthy. Indeed, those who have disbelieved and avert people from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Al-Masjid Al-Haram, which we made for the people, equal for the resident therein, and one from outside. And also, whoever intends a deed therein of deviation in religion by wrongdoing, we will make him taste of the painful punishment. What do we learn from this section? Jannah is for people of Kalima, the believers only. Do good and invite others to do good, because you don't want to go there alone. And do not be in the barriers for others. Instead, being a bridge, so show with your character that deen is easy. If they come, they'll enjoy it, inshallah. And then ayah number 26 to 33, we learn Ibrahim alayhi salam built the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are learning Suratul Hajj, and we have to mention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to mention Ibrahim alayhi salam, because he was the one, the chosen servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And he actually built the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 26. And mention, O Prophet, when we designated for Ibrahim the site of the house, saying, do not associate anything with me and purify my house for those who perform tawaf, and those who stand in prayer, and those who bow and prostrate, and proclaim to the people to do the Hajj, the pilgrimage. They will come to you on foot and every lean camel. They will come from every distant pass. Don't we see this today? Alhamdulillah, people go all over the world, no matter how long of the flight they have, they still have this hard journey to do, and they go to it, alhamdulillah. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up the haram for this year's Hajj. Let's make dua right now. Oh Allah, open the haram. Do not deprive us of doing Hajj this year. That they may witness that attend, and that is attend benefit for themselves, and mention the name of Allah on known, that is specified days, over what He has provided for them of sacrificial animals, so eat them and feed the miserable and the poor. Meaning, whatever sacrifice is a part of the riches of Islam, and this is what Ibrahim alayhi salam started out from, right? Ibrahim alayhi salam's sunnah, he did that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved it so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made every Muslim until the day of judgment to sacrifice an animal when they go for Hajj. Then let them end their untidiness and fulfill their vows and perform the waf and around the ancient house, which is Kaaba, that has been commanded. And whoever honors the sacred ordinance of Allah, it is best for him in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And permit to you are the grazing livestock, except what is recited to you. So avoid the uncleanliness of idols and avoid the false statement, inclining only to Allah, not associating anything with Him. So when we go for Hajj, we have to make sure that we're doing this Hajj for dunya purpose or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sometimes people do Hajj for some other intentions too. So Hajj should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. And was snatched by the birds or the winds carried him down into a remote place. That is so. And whoever honors the symbols, that is the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed it is from the piety of the heart. What do we learn here? The sacrifice of animal doesn't go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only the heart, the piety of the heart. Because who eats those meat? We do. What goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The taqwa that makes you do all these things. So, what do we learn here? For you therein, that is the animal marked for sacrifice and benefits for a specified term, then their place of sacrifice is that ancient house. The lesson from this paragraph is, shirk will hinder in acceptance of Hajj. So, clean your heart from any and all kinds of shirk and make intention to go for Hajj. If you have already done so, you can make intention to go for Umrah, inshallah. Observe the limits that are set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sacrifice self-desires for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we can sacrifice our self-desires right now, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will choose you and I and be focused like Ibrahim alayhi salam. In the next paragraph, ayah number 34 to 38, be a mukhbit. This is a characteristic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to have in us. Why? Because for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُخْبِتِينَ. Give good tidings to the humble people who humble themselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mukhbit is the one who cries in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let's go to the ayah number 34. And that they may mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over what He has provided for them of sacrificial animals, for your God is one God. So to Him submit. And O Prophet, give good tidings to the humble before your Lord, Al-Mukhbitin. Who are Al-Mukhbitin? Al-Mukhbitin are the one who cries in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, and who only fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they don't have arrogance of any kind. Mukhbit is basically a person who is away from arrogance at all, because Mukhbit is the one who cries for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the khashir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he knows that it's only Allah that you should cry for. No matter how much of a hardship in this dunya comes, it's not worth crying for. No matter how much pain you're going through, it's not worth crying for. The only worth crying for is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and mukhbit is the one who cries. And we learn from a hadith, the meaning of the hadith is, there are two drops Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. One is the drop that comes out of the eyes of the believer, out of the khashi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and another drop that sheds a drop of blood in a way, fighting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you and I are not going to battle. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ikhbat. Ikhbat is a quality when a person's heart is humble and he doesn't mind anything then. And when Allah is mentioned, their hearts are fearful and to the patient. I want you to highlight these qualities for ourselves so we can count with these qualities and we can develop in ourselves, because this is what the mukhbit is. When Allah is mentioned, their hearts are fearful. Number one quality, and to the patient over what has afflicted them, meaning they don't complain, and the establishers of the prayer, meaning they establish their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who spend from what we have provided them. And the number fourth quality is they spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, accept all these qualities and bring all these qualities in us. Ameen. And say Ameen. And the camels and the cattle, we have appointed for you as among the symbols, that is rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for you therein is good. So mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them when lined up for sacrifice, and when they are lifeless on their sides, they eat from them and feed the needy who does not seek aid, and the beggar. Thus have we subjected them to you that you may be grateful. And their meat will not reach Allah, nor will their blood, but what reaches them His piety from you. Thus we have subjected them to you, and that you may glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that to which He has guided you, and give good tidings to the doers of the good. And indeed Allah defends those who have believed. Notice here, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Indeed Allah defends those who have believed. Indeed, Allah does not like everyone treacherous and ungrateful. What do we learn here? Allah defends His believers. and have desire to develop qualities of mukhbit, sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, and meat from the sacrificial animal doesn't reach Allah, only taqwa does. In the next paragraph, ayah number 39 to 48, we learn hearts doesn't feel anything. When hearts become dead, they don't feel anything. And inshallah, ayah number 39, we learn permission to fight has been given to those who are being fought because they were wrong, and indeed Allah is competent to give them victory. They are those who have been evicted from their homes without right only because they say our Lord is Allah. What do we learn here? This is the only problem people have. When people believe in Allah only, and were it not that Allah checks the people, some by the names, some by the means of others, they would have been monasteries, churches, synagogues, and mosques demolished, in which the name of Allah is much mentioned, that is praise, and Allah will surely support those who support Him. Highlight this part that you see in your screen. وَلَا يَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهَ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ, meaning Allah will support those who support Him, meaning His deen. How can you support Allah? By supporting His deen. In Allah's help will come if we have Allah's deen. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this our motto of our life, and this becomes our lifestyle, inshallah. Allah is and Allah will surely support those who support Him, that is in His cause. Indeed, Allah is powerful and exalted in might. And they are those who, if we give them authority in the land, establish prayer and give zakah, and enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong, and to Allah belongs the outcome of all matters. And if they deny, O Prophet, so before them did the people of the Nu and the Ad and the Samud deny their prophets too. And the people of Ibrahim and the people of Lut, and in the inhabitants of Madian and Musa was denied. So I prolong enjoyment for the disbeliever. Highlight this part. When people deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them more of this dunya. Then I seize them, and how terrible was my reproach. And how many a city did we destroy while it was committing wrong, so it is now falling into ruin, and how many an abandoned well, and how many a lofty palaces. And so have they not traveled through the earth, and have hearts by which to reason, and ears by which to hear? For indeed, it is not eyes that are blinded, but the blinded are the hearts which are within the breast. May Allah make our hearts alive, and they are not blind to see the truth. And they urge you to hasten the punishment, but Allah will never fail in His promise. And indeed, a day with your Lord is like 1,000 years of those which you count. And for how many a city did I prolong enjoyment while it was committing wrong? Then I seized it, and to me is the final destination. What do we learn in this paragraph? Travel for the purpose of seeking ibra, meaning learn lessons. Heart becomes blind when people ignore the truth. People, when disobey, when they ignore, then they don't feel wrong committing wrong. They actually feel good committing wrong. May Allah save us from those hearts. Allah give time to come back. Let's use this time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. Three things are needed for establishment of the deen, in the which we learn in this ayah. Then there are salah, number one, very important. Zakah, number two, and reform. If these three things are in us, in the ummah, inshallah, establishment of deen will happen. Allah helps those who help Allah. This is the key point from this paragraph. Ayah number 49 to 57, we learn Prophet's desire. And what was the Prophet's desire? The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spreads. Say, O people, I am only to you a clear warner, and those who have believed and done righteous deeds, for them is forgiveness and noble provision. But the one who strove against our verses, seeking to cause failure, those are the companions of the hellfire. And did we not send before you any messenger or prophet except that when he spoke or recited, Shaitan threw into it some misunderstanding? What do we learn here? Sometimes Shaitan really bothers you, and he actually cause you to misunderstand, but Allah abolishes that which Shaitan throws in. Then Allah makes precise His verses, and Allah is knowing and wise. That is so. He may make that Shaitan throws in that is asserts a trial for those within whose heart is disease, and those hard of hearts. And indeed, the wrongdoers in extreme dissension. May Allah save us from the hardness of the heart and the blows of the shaitan. And may Allah save us from understanding something that is wrong. Whatever we are learning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to learn the way it's supposed to be learned. And the source is authentic, the information is authentic, and the way it's supposed to be given to us, it should be authentic. Be careful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever we are learning from whatever sources we are learning, it is 100% pure. Because if it is not, then this is a Satan's dissension, and he makes you think otherwise. So this is why it is extremely important to say A'udhu Billah before seeking knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. And so for those who were given knowledge may know that it is the truth from your Lord, and therefore believe in it, and their hearts humbly submit to it. Highlight this part. فَتُقْبِتَ لَهُ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Humbly submissive heart, meaning this is opposite of the hard hearts. Because when the hearts are hard, then nothing goes in. And when the hearts are soft, everything goes in. Alhamdulillah. And indeed, is Allah the guide of those who have believed to a straight path. But those who disbelieve will not cease to be in doubt or in doubt of it until the hour comes upon them unexpectedly, or there come to them the punishment of a barren day. And all sovereignty that day is for Allah. He will judge between them. So they who believe and did righteous deeds will be in the gardens of pleasure. And they who disbelieve and denied our signs, for those there will be a humiliating punishment. What did we learn in this paragraph? Let not shaitan interfere in your decisions. Whenever we make decisions, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are learning something and we are making decisions according to Allah's commands, and then shaitan comes in and he incites, you know what, this is not right, do it this way. So just seek protection from shaitan. Be conscious of his incitement and humble your hearts. Very important. Humble your hearts. Match your desires with the desires of the Prophet, because Prophet ﷺ's desire was to spread the deen. If our desire is also to spread the deen, that means we are aligned in the right direction. May Allah make us among those. Ayah number 58 to 64, we learn promises of Allah for those who migrate for Him. And those who immigrated for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they were killed or died, Allah will surely provide for them a good provision. And indeed, it is Allah who is the best of the providers. He will surely cause them to enter in an entrance which they will be pleased. And indeed, Allah is knowing and forbearing, and that is so. And whoever responds to injustice with the equivalent of that which with which he was harmed and then is tyrannized, Allah will surely aid him. Indeed, Allah is pardoning and forgiving. Inna Allah la'afuwun ghafoor. That is because Allah causes the night to enter the day and cause the day to enter the night, and because Allah is hearing and seeing. That is because Allah is the true reality. Highlight this part. This is the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that which they call upon other than Him is falsehood, and because Allah is the Most High, the Grand. Do you not see that Allah has sent down rain from the sky and the earth becomes green? Indeed, Allah is subtle and aware. To Him belongs what is in the heavens and what is on the earth. And indeed, Allah is the free of need, the praiseworthy. What did we learn in this section? Don't sit back. Relax. Be active. Move up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Akbar. Believe in it. Because people say Allahu Akbar during the Salah. And when they come out from the Salah, they think, no, I am bigger. My desires are bigger. I need to obey myself. This is what I need now. I don't need to do anything extra. And unless and until the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in our heart, we're not able to move forward. So let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give us the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And expect goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, not anybody else. In the next paragraph from ayah number 65 to 72, we learn that Tawheed hurts them. The people who don't want to believe, their ears are not happy when they hear the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 65, we learn, do you not see that Allah is subjected to you whatever is on the earth and the ships which run through the sea by His command? And He restrains the sky from the falling upon the earth unless by His permission indeed Allah to the people is kind and merciful. And He is the one who gave life, then He causes you to die, and then will again give you life. Indeed, mankind is ungrateful. For every religious community, we have appointed rites which they perform. So, O Prophet, let them, that is the disbelievers, not contend with you over the matter, but invite them to your Lord. Indeed, you are upon the straight guidance. And if they dispute with you, they say Allah is most knowing of what you do. Allah will judge between you on the day of resurrection concerning that over which they used to differ. And do you not know that Allah knows what is in the heavens and the earth? Indeed, that is in the record. Indeed, that for Allah is easy. And they worship besides Allah that for which He has not sent down authority, that one of that of which they have no knowledge. And there will be not for the wrongdoers any helper. And when our verses are recited to them as clear evidences, you recognize in the faces of those who disbelieve disapproval. They are almost on the verge of assaulting those who recite to them our verses. Say, then shall I inform you of what is worse than that? It is the fire, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised those who disbelieve, and wretched is the destination. What do we learn in this paragraph? Know who Allah truly is and His power. Feel the oneness of Allah by observing nature. And this is how you can involve your family, your kids. Let them observe nature. If after Ramadan, go for camping trips, stay close to nature, and they'll find Allah. Fire is extremely painful. We need to realize that. Do your part to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be grateful. Abdullah bin Amr narrated that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah decreed the measures 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. What do we learn here? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written the decrees of us. So before He created the earth. So we all just need to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do our part and leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 73. We learn 73 to 78. Strive for Allah. O people, an example is presented, so listen to it. Indeed, those who invoke besides Allah will never create as much as a fly, even if they gather together for it, that is the purpose. And if the fly should steal from them a tiny thing, they could not recover from it. We are the pursuer and pursued. They have not appraised Allah with true appraisal. I want you to highlight this part of the ayah. مَا قَدْرَهُ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. May God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us understanding of Allah's true power and true haqq. Indeed, Allah is powerful and exalted in the might. Allah chooses from the angels, measures and from the people. Indeed, Allah is hearing and seeing. And He knows what is presently before them and what will be after them. And to Allah will be returned all matters. O you who have believed, bow and prostrate. Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu, urka'u wasjudu wa'budu رَبَّكُمْ وَفْعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. O you who have believed, bow and prostrate and worship your Lord and do good. They are that you are succeeded. What do we learn in this ayah? A criteria for succession, meaning the establishment of the deen will happen if the whole ummah is doing all these three things. Highlight this ayah for your reference so we can work on it, inshallah. Ayah number 78. And strive for Allah with the striving due to Him. He has chosen you. Notice here, highlight here, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the believers, you and I, strive in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the striving due to Him. Not just what we think that, oh, we're doing one class and we're done with it. No, strive in a way that it is due is haq, because we cannot even rest assured. We cannot even sit still until we are doing whatever we it's in our capability to the maximum. You know why? Because even then it's not enough. Because Allah's haqq is more than that. He has chosen you and has not placed upon you in the religion any difficulty. What do we learn here? People who enter the fold of Islam completely, and when they give their hearts in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the one who finds this religion easy. Or else the people who restrict themselves and restrain themselves and resist all the commands, they find the deen very hard. Isn't that true? When we resist the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it seems impossible to us. When we give in, it becomes easy. It is a religion of your father Ibrahim. He is the that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named you Muslims. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? You are Muslims. What other name do we people give? Any other name besides Muslim. People like to call themselves any other thing besides Muslim. I am Muslim, but I am so and so. I am Muslim, but I belong to such and such group. I am Muslim, but I am I belong to such and such imam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying He has chosen one name for us. What is it? Muslim. Say it. I am Muslim, only Muslim. No other names I'm going to give from now on to myself. And before in the former scriptures and in this revelation that the messenger may be a witness over you and you may be witness over the people. So what should you do? Establish prayer. So important. Importance of Salah. Do you feel importance of Salah in this Quran over and over? And give zakah and hold fast to Allah. He is your protector. Question. Do we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our protector? وَعَتَسِمُ بِاللَّهِ هُوَ مَوْلَاكُمْ. Highlight this part. Allah is my Mawla. And excellent is the protector. فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. And excellent is the helper. Is there anybody who can help you and I besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nobody can do it. This last ayah is a beautiful ayah because this ayah is a goal setting ayah. This ayah is a deen in a nutshell. Why? Because it covers everything. What is the purpose of the life? How busy should we keep in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How should we serve Him? Which religion is the right religion? And which message should we be following? And what exactly how we should be living this life? By serving Allah through Salah, by serving humanity through Zakah, and by serving Allah's deen, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our protector, our helper, and nobody else. In other words, Tawheed should enter the heart when we listen to this ayah, and Tawheed should be the success in the life of ours and the life of any believers. And now the next slide is just the dua again. Allahumma alhimni rushdi wa aizni min shari nafsi. And the last slide that you see, take home message is the core of the deen lies in du'as. Du'as can change the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we truly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the bottom of our heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near and He listens to the du'a. And your du'as are reflections of your inner desire. What I mean by this is, take a deeper look in your list of du'as. What kind of du'a you and I ask? Because du'as, whatever the word and du'as we ask, it shows what's in our heart. Meaning, this is what our direction, this is what our desire is. People may find the du'a, like for example, give me house, give me kids, give me and get me married and get my son go to this college and give me that money and that. Yes, you can ask all those. These are the blessings of Allah. Nothing wrong with that. But is that the only thing we should be asking? Our du'as, the list of the du'a, the quality of the du'a that we should ask, should now have a different standard. After learning Quran up until 17 juz, we should know what should we ask for. We should make du'a that we should stay away from shirk. We should make du'a that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among muhsineen. We should make du'a that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us mukhbiteen. We should make du'a that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the status of shuhada, the one who strives in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should make du'a that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses us for His deen. We should make du'a that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among siddiqeen, the truthful ones, the steadfast one, the one who don't give up in hardship, the one who is always grateful, and the one who is always fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one whose focus is akhirah, and then he makes his decision according to that mindset. So what do we learn in here, inshallah? that everything matters, whatever the way you live, the way you die. Inna salati wa nusuki mahiyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakum Allah khairan kathira. Wasmiliya Faiza. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Another juz we completed. More lessons learned. More points noted for our islah. Noticed many, many shortcomings. Just one dua. Ya Allah, make us among those who strive for their islah in this dunya. Before it's too late. Ameen, zum ameen. Yes, sisters. Let's share the points affected us the most and what we will take from this session. And let's share all the gems of our sadqa-i jariya, inshallah wa ta'ala. Looking forward to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed, but we have to work real hard, inshallah wa ta'ala. But the thing is, first, when you, the realization that we have to meet, and then the next comes the hard work, inshallah wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us rushd, ameen, summa ameen. Ask Allah directly. Indeed, we have to do that. When making dua, we should call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his attributes, mercy, prayer. We should make dua with hope and fear. We should make dua directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be patient. Alhamdulillah, you summarized pretty much. Seek more ilm. Iman is a precious treasure. Value it, inshallah. We will be active Muslims. The importance of taqwa, knowledge and deep understanding of the deen. Prepare for qiyamah. Soul needs water of revelation, just like our body. Indeed, we do. And that's what we are learning to how we can do that, right? So that's what we, that's the water for the soul we are taking, inshallah. Power of dawah or dua. Soak ourselves with Quran. Sacrifice self-desires for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah we will. Every soul will taste death. It's imminent, inshallah. We will prepare for it, for the time. Allahu Akbar. See, so many points come into mind when we learn Quran and be in the company of like-minded students and stuff, you know. How Hajj and Day of Judgment mirror reflects. Indeed, it is. See, sometimes what happens is that point does not click. And somebody else said, oh yeah, that needs to be pondered upon. That point has to be, you know, considered. Only dua can change our destiny. Inshallah wa ta'ala. Yes, indeed. And we should have staunch belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's acceptance too, you know. Like with the certainty of it, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then inshallah wa ta'ala. And you know that there are three different steps of dua's acceptance. So one, sometimes it just does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does accept right away. Sometimes it's delayed and sometimes the rewards will be given in the Day of Judgment, inshallah wa ta'ala. Don't worship on edge, like do not pick and choose only what works for you. Indeed, yes. Ask for hikmah, rushd, like Ibrahim alayhi salam. Three things are needed for establishment of deen, salah, zakah and islah. Alhamdulillah, this is also so very important and one of the major points of today's lesson, alhamdulillah. Yes. Alhamdulillah, many, many lessons learned, many points to be noted, but the thing is, it is important to consider and important to remember that we have to work on them. And inshallah wa ta'ala, we will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the istiqamah to be steadfast on this journey, inshallah wa ta'ala. Keep on learning, keep on working hard, keep on striving for good. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Important of perfecting our salah. It's first step, very important, so it won't void out. Indeed it is. Salah is the major worship of our deen, right? Five times a day. And it is so very important to first know what actual salah is, the sunnah way, learn it, and then establish it. So then you are not missing out on anything. So the harder you work, the better results you will achieve, inshallah wa ta'ala. Be an active Muslimah, indeed, inshallah wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be among those who are vigilant of our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a sin watcher. Ya Allah, make us fulfill haqqul ibad. Ya Allah, we do many sins, so many sins. Please forgive us. We ask you to forgive and reward us with your mercy. Ya Allah, whatever deeds we did or will do are not good enough or worthy enough for Jannah. But we ask that you honor us with the eternal blessings of Jannah with your rahmah. Ya Allah, we are looking forward for the meeting you promised. Ya Allah, grant us wisdom to prepare for the blissful death and not to fear it, and prepare for that meeting. Ya Allah, make us prioritize our deen. Ya Allah, help Muslim Ummah. Ya Allah, we admit we did wrong. Ya Allah, we are your slaves. Please send help from Ghaib. Ya Allah, make us among your Salih and Abid slaves. Amin, summa amin. Allahumma aini ala zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma innaka afuwwun tuhibbul afwa. Fa'fu anna, fa'fu anna, fa'fu anna. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lamu. Rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika astaghith. Allahumma alhimni rushdi wa a'idhni min sharri nafsi. Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan kamilan wa yaqinan sadiqan wa rizqan wasi'an qalban khashi'an wa lisanan dhakiran wa halalan tayyiban wa tawbatan nusuhan wa tawbatan qabla al-mawt wa rahatan 'inda al-mawt wal 'afwa 'inda al-hisab wal fawza bil jannati wan najati min an-nar bi rahmatika ya aziz ya ghaffar. Amin, summa amin. Take good care of yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us from the shar of shaitan or any shar there is or any evil there is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us in his hifzoman, in his afiyat, and make us steadfast on our deen. Amin, summa amin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our qiyam, our sayam, all the worship we do. It's not good enough, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with your mercy, please accept that. Amin, summa amin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas samiyul alim, watubu alayna, watubu alayna, watubu alayna, innaka antas tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala rasuli khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilaik. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluh ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله علانيته وسره أهل أنت أن تعبد أهل أنت أن تحمد لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت إنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا ونور صدورنا وذهاب همومنا وغمومنا اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وأطراف النهار على الوجه الذي يرضيك عنا اللهم اجعله حجة لنا لا حجة علينا وسائقا لنا إلى جناتك جنات النعيم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم فرج هم المهمومين من المسلمين ونفع